With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Isaiah's writing this over 700 plus years before it's fulfilled in Jesus. He's writing it 700 plus years, and don't forget, he has just spent 8 chapters showing the consequences of sin and disobedience in the lives of God's covenant people, Israel, and the pervasiveness because of sin of gloom, of despair, of death, and of anguish.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part 2 of the message entitled Wonderful Counselor, as we continue our Advent series, The Messiah King. A king of the ancient world greatly valued a royal counselor who fit a threefold profile. He was to be renowned for his wisdom. He was to be a keen political, economic, and especially military strategist. And he was trustworthy, not governed by self-ambition, but able to humble himself. But now our Messiah King has come, and he does not need to secure a counselor. For there is no greater counselor than himself. Indeed, he is our wonderful counselor. If you're following along in your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 1 through 7. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part 2 of the message, Wonderful Counselor.
Who is this Messiah? He will emancipate, he will break the dominion of sin. He will emancipate and triumph over all of his enemies and their weapons with his weapons and his kingdom. The weapons of the Spirit in the hands of the Lord, the armor of Christ will be established for the work of his kingdom. Then who is this one to do it? Look, verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. To who? Not to Joseph. To who? Not to Mary. Not the adopted father. Not the appointed mother. But to us who have been in anguish, gloom, darkness, death, agony, under the dominion of sin, its guilt, its shame, its power. To us, a warrior king has been given. And who is he? A child is born. A son is given. And in that simple statement that we repeat is not only this monumental statement, this child, son, has been born to us that we might be born again in him. But then we're told about him. To us, a child is born, the humanity of this king. God's not born. This is one who comes as a man from embryo to death and a tomb, and from it. He has a true human body and a true human soul. By a man came death, now by a man comes the resurrection of the dead. But this isn't just any man. This is God having come in the flesh. Unto us a child is born. Next statement, unto us a son has been given. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Emmanuel, God with us, God one of us, God among us, God taking our place for us. That gloom is displaced with joy, darkness with light, and sin's dominion is broken because all of his enemies, he has triumphed over them. And the resurrection declares that. Now look at what he says. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Now we find out something else about him. He comes from the line of David, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Here is a kingdom, a forever kingdom, a kingdom that cannot fail because the king of this kingdom cannot fail. And to make it clear where we are putting our hope, notice what he says at the end. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. The same passion that Christ displayed to go to that cross to redeem us, that same passion from heaven, he is ruling and reigning for that kingdom to go to all the nations and the gospel of the kingdom to all the nations and all of the elect from every tribe and nation. He will not lose one of them. And the same passion and zeal of the Lord that sent him to the cross, now from the throne, will bring all of his people to himself for all of eternity. He, with his passion and ardor, will accomplish this. And who is he? He is of the line of David. Who is he? He is fully man. A child is born. Who is he? God with us. The Son has been given to us that we might be saved in and through him. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, maybe you, like me, are reading that and you're thinking, if I had to preach that, I got a problem. So I'll let you in on my problem. He just articulated four, and our own Dr. Paul House in his commentary on Isaiah has rightly identified those as four throne names. These are names of regal entitlement. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But notice, it doesn't say his names shall be. It says his name, singular, shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So what is he telling you? Here's what he's telling you. Those four names make up the name of Emmanuel, Jesus, in his regal glory. And they are interdependent, they are interconnected, and they are intradependent and intraconnected. In other words, you can't have his name without all four of those titles. He can't displace gloom with joy, darkness with light, and death with life, and the dominion of sin with the dominion of grace. He can't do that unless he is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Because he's the Wonderful Counselor, he knows what to do and how to do it. Because he is the Mighty God, he can do it. Because he is the Father, he now has those whom he has begotten through what he does. And now we who were enemies, we now have him and we have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. The four build on each other and they're interconnected. And if any one of them is not there, the others can't be there. And so what's the very first one? Wonderful Counselor. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. In fact, you probably have already thought this. Harry, wait just a minute. You've got four titled names that give us the name of our Messiah King, the child who is born unto us, the son who is given to us. But the only problem is, Harry, there's not four. According to Calvin, there was five. And according to the King James Bible, there was five. And according to Handel's Messiah, there was five. Can't you sing it now? Wonderful, comma. Counselor, comma. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We sing it every year, right? Why do we do that? Well, I think we're inaccurate on that. Well, Harry, are you saying there's errors in the Bible? No. The Bible in the original autographs does not come with punctuation. It doesn't have periods and commas. It doesn't have that. That's what interpreters and translators put in. And with all due respect, I know I may get stoned after this. The King James Bible was wrong to put the comma after wonderful. It should have been after counselor. Now, the New American Standard Bible and the English Standard Version Bible, they got it right. That's where it belongs. Now, we are not, let me let all of you read, we are not going to redo Handel's Messiah. Because actually, wonderful is a name for God. In fact, my grandmother taught me that when I came home from the first grade from Acock Elementary School in Greensboro, North Carolina. Every day, she had sit me down. She had put my black puppy dog, which is still on my bed. She had put my black puppy dog on my, by the way, it's not a real puppy dog, just so you know, it's not 53 years old. It's a cloth puppy dog. And she'd put it on my lap and we would sing, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eye has seen, ear has heard, it's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? So his name is wonderful. But here, the wonderful is not a noun, it's an adjective. He's a wonderful counselor. Now I got to tell you something else. That does not mean Jesus is your therapist. Counselor, you got to go back 2,000 years ago. Counselor was the second most important person in a kingdom. King number one, and every king got a counselor, the best one they could find. In your Bible, you've got three of them that you study. Pharaoh made Joseph his counselor. Daniel, in two empires and five dynasties, was a counselor. Two empires, Babylon and Medo-Persian, five dynasties, Nebuchadnezzar, Nabonidus, Darius, Cyrus, and Nehemiah, though a different name, was also serving as a counselor for Artaxerxes. So every great king knew I need a wonderful, what was a counselor? A counselor had a threefold profile. He was to be known for wisdom. He was to be known as a strategist. A political strategist, an economic strategist, and most of all, a military strategist. Remember all the strategy that Joseph came up for with Pharaoh? And so that's what, and Daniel came up for Nebuchadnezzar and later for Darius. You see, that's what they were. They were strategists, political, economic, military strategists. And number three, they were trustworthy. They weren't governed by ambition for self. But they were able to humble themselves. They were trustworthy. Now comes our king, and he doesn't need to secure a counselor, for there's no counselor greater than him. He is wonderful. There's a young man in this church, I don't know who he is, he's 8 years old. I talked to his grandparents last week, and they were sitting there talking with me, and they said, you know what? My child was in class a couple of months ago, And they were teaching them about prefixes and a prefix, and particularly about the prefix IN. Prefix is what you put in front. You fix it in front of a word. Auburn, Alabama, they taught you that, right? Okay, you got it. And she asked him, tell me a prefix that you can add to a word, and when you add it, it means the exact opposite of what the word means without it. And without batting an eye, he said, incomparable. There's no way at 8 years of age I would have ever come up with that. No way. Incomparable. Comparable, well, you can compare it to something. Incomparable is the exact opposite. There's nothing to compare. That's what the word wonderful means. Incomparable. Who can be his counselor? Who advises him? Who creates a better strategy than him? Who is more trustworthy than the one who humbled himself to take upon himself humanity and humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross? He is his own counselor. He is a wonderful counselor. He not only knows what the problem is, he knows how the strategy that is required must be implemented to solve the problem. There's a virgin birth. There's a perfect life. There's an atoning death. There is an empty tomb. There is a resurrection. There is an ascension, and there is the promise of his coming again. There is the establishment of a kingdom now that exists because this king came not to bring judgment, but this king came in humility to bear our judgment. And there is a kingdom now, but not yet in its fullness. Its fullness will be when the king returns. See his strategy. And when he returns, he comes. This time he comes not simply to defeat his enemies. When he comes again, he destroys all of his enemies. See his wonderful wisdom, strategy. See his humility. See his trustworthiness. See his desire that the Father be glorified and all that the Father gives him will be saved. Then he gives the strategy from heaven as he intercedes for us to take the gospel to all of the nations, that we might come to Christ and know his glory. His wisdom, here in Christ is wisdom personified. The Word became flesh. Here is a strategist who is incomparable. Here is one who is loyal. So here's your takeaway. Here's your takeaway. The Messiah King, who needs no counselor to save his people from their sins. He needs no counselor. How do you get rid of the gloom? How do you get rid of the darkness? How do you get rid of the dominion of sin? He knows what needs to be done, and he knows the strategy to get it done. He needs no counselor to save his people from their sins. But here's something that's glorious. You can't leave here without this. He is the same King who promises to be the ever-present counselor in your life. This one, when there was no way for us to be saved, no way to get rid of sin's gloom, no way to get rid of sin's depression, death, anguish, agony, no way to get rid of it throughout all of humanity, no one was worthy to open the seals. But this one who is worthy has come. He knows what the problem is. He knows how to solve the problem. And it's not a strategy of simply a plan. The strategy is him himself. He is the one who wins the victory for his people. And he pays the full cost that our debt is removed. And we are accepted in him. And he doesn't stop there. This one who is Jesus, it's not our religious insights. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through him. And when you come to him and through him, he becomes the way, the truth, and the life for you. This is my identity. My identity is not my job. My identity is not my ministry. My identity is Christ. He is my life. He is life. And amazingly, he now becomes my counselor. Is this true? I can't wait to hear his wisdom from his word. I love to read it, to hear it preached. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Do you? That's the only way you're going to get gloom. Listen, it's not a coalition with the world that's going to take care of the gloom. It's not a pharmaceutical answer. It's not a human education answer. The answer is Christ. And that answer, he is there for you as the way, the truth, and the life. And then he'll be with you. Don't you love that on the road to Emmaus? You remember the two? They were gloomy. They were discouraged. Remember the two people on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection of Jesus? On the first day of his resurrection, he comes over. He says, why are you so downcast? Oh my goodness. We thought Jesus was the Messiah. We thought Jesus was the one. We thought Jesus was the answer. And now he's not only been crucified, but people are telling us his body is stolen. What in the world is going on? And then he sat down. Beginning, he gave them wisdom and the understanding of the strategy that beginning with Moses and with all of the prophets and the Psalms, he says, these things are fulfilled in me. And then he opened their eyes and their heart when he opened the scriptures to them. And that is what God's people hunger for. He is my way, truth, and life. Nothing's more important than my incomparable strategist and wisdom personified. And he speaks by his spirit through his word as it is preached and displayed and studied and embraced. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So let me just say one final thing, and we'll close in prayer. Here's the reality. Everything I just told you, that I just said, Jesus, he knows the problem and he knows the solution. Virgin birth, rejected life, atoning death, resurrection, ascension, he's coming again. The world says that's foolishness. We say, incomparable counselor, the way, the truth, and the life. So where are you today? Where are you today? Where are you today? My heart beats for you. Where are you today? I know you're in a church building, but are you in Jesus? Are you in Christ? Before I left Charlotte, I had a debate. Every single quarter, with a guy who was an atheist, very popular. We're on a radio station that literally went from Maine to Florida, and we would have a debate. And we actually became really good friends. In fact, he's the last guy I talked to when I left Charlotte to come to Birmingham, to plead with him one more time to come to Christ. I'll never forget our first debate. As we're sitting there talking, he said, Harry, I really like you, but you're obnoxious. And I said, why? He says, you keep telling everybody that if they don't trust Jesus, they can't be saved. That's arrogant and obnoxious. I said, no. I want to promise you something. I did not sit in the corner and come up with that. I am merely reporting to you what John 17 says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. I'm reporting to you not what I said, but what he said. I'm simply saying I am a amplifier. I didn't come up with the message. I'm just giving it to you. And of course, come the questions from Maine to Florida. And that was an interesting moment. And then he said to me, he said, I just don't believe it. And I said to him, Jerry, I said, here's the fact. I do, you don't. So we got three possibilities. One, I'm right, you're wrong. Two, you're right, I'm wrong. Three, We're both wrong. Let me tell you what's not possible. We both can't be right. And the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life is the gospel message of Christ the Savior. Foolishness or the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you know what he said to me next. No, you don't. I'll tell you. I knew you'd do that. You're not going to put me in your box. I said, oh, no, no, Jerry, I'm not trying to put you in a box. I'm praying you'll be set free. Gloom, death, despair, and the dominion of sin, its guilt and its shame, gone. And today can be a forever life for you.
Our Messiah King has come, and he does not need to secure a royal counselor, for there is no greater counselor than himself. Indeed, he is our wonderful counselor. Join us again next time as we continue with our Advent series, The Messiah King. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Wonderful Counselor, or simply ask for message number 16428. Again, that's message number 16428. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD, which includes shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Or email inperspective@briarwood.org. The 20th century saw historic biblical Christianity at war with unbiblical theological liberalism and the spread of contemporary progressive Christianity in today's evangelical church is the 21st century version of this ongoing spiritual battle. Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth. Dr. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity and topics such as its motivation, mission, and message, Revoice Theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go online to briarwood.org/progressive CD. This very well might be the most important series you will order this year. That's briarwood.org/progressive CD. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.